broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2021. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley. His goal, to preserve the nation. He's even created a collegiate homeschooling curriculum and more. But I'm telling you right now, it's for adults too. It is collegiate style, folks. Big time education. You got DVD presentations. You got a workbook and a book, a whole lot more to preserve the nation. You want to learn more about it? Get yours today. FreedomsRisingSun.com gets that done. FreedomsRisingSun.com. And you can also, by the way, when you're there, sign up and support him monthly. And what he does for that is puts up more than 1,000 educational videos, Q&As on the Constitution. He also holds weekly live webinars and more. It is a must-see website, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome, my friend.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate all you're doing, and I just hope everything is going well with you and yours, and indeed all of our listeners this morning, because there is enough craziness to go around in this old world.
I find this fascinating. Headline says, NASA rover lands on Mars to look for signs of ancient life. Number one, Dr. Bradley, do you believe they landed a rover on Mars?
Well, I have some grave doubts. Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but confirm. I say distrust until confirmed. And so, when haven't they lied to us? And they've been on the most momentous of things. They may have some little dribbly things that are out there somewhere, but everything that I do in-depth study on, I find that the modern government approach to things is to deflect the truth. Let's put it that way. Lie through their teeth is probably the way most people would better understand it, but they really don't seem to have a propensity to seek after truth. And I've told you many times, in front of me all the time when I'm sitting at my desk, there's a plaque that says, it's by George Washington, there is but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. And I really believe that we've kind of abandoned that in general as the approach that our government has dealt with the people of the nation. So, I guess I have to call it into question. That's a commentary on a really simple question you asked, but my answer, I guess, would be, I distrust until verified.
Mars is about 140 million miles, they say, from Earth, give or take. All right, 140 million miles from Earth, give or take. I don't even know how to understand 140 million miles. Do you, Doctor?
Well, it's a lot more complex than, lining up a shot and taking it. I mean, this is really weird. If you think about this, we're on a spiral, on a spiral, on a spiral, on a spiral, is what's happening. The Earth is spinning on its axis. The Earth is spinning around the sun. Mars has its axis that it's spinning on. It is spinning around the sun. All of it is traveling through our galaxy in a circular motion, about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way out from the center of our galaxy. Everything is spinning in a kind of let's put it this way. It takes some really fancy math to figure this out. It's way beyond my pay grade. But the fact of the matter is, 140 million miles, and you're putting the trajectory together like that. I've done some long-range shooting in my day, and that's, child's play over this. But when you get way out there a long ways, you're not just talking about bullet drop and gravity. You're talking about the curvature of the Earth, and you're talking about, the issues of wind and everything else like that. And this is one heck of a long shot. But, you know, maybe it can be done. But you know what? I've been, I found statements by those that say we haven't been back to the moon because we don't know how to do it. Now, everything was done back in the 60s with slide rules. And I used a slide rule. You know, my physics would have been impossible without a slide rule for me. But now they use calculators, handheld calculators, that are much more powerful than stuff that was in spacecraft, you know, 50 years ago. But somebody, one of the statements I read said that they've lost the formula, basically, on how to get back to the moon, and it's going to have to be rederived. And I'm saying, oh, if that's the case,
wait
so
a minute, hold on,
miles.
Hold on. We haven't lost the formula to Coke, but we've lost the formula to going to the moon.
Well, you know, that's...
Come on.
Hey, wait a minute. That Coke thing has been pretty highly guarded. But there are some that say we have not got the capability of doing a moonshot again and getting people back. Now, that's pretty important. If you're the guy in the tin can that's riding out there, you're pretty focused on making sure you get the slingshot around the moon and, well, if you land there and... I mean, there's just a whole bunch of controversy.
Hold on. Let me understand. How far is the moon from the Earth? Don't they say it's like 138,000 miles?
Oh, I think it's more like 250,000 miles. I haven't, you know, looked it up lately, but...
I'm going to look it up, but all I'm telling you is we're talking about how far to Mars? Okay, we can't get to the moon because we lost the formula. By golly, we're going to try to get back by, I don't know, some 10-year mode or something like this. But literally, it's 140 million miles to Mars, and we can do that, folks. In fact, we're doing it kind of routinely. They make it sound, don't worry. But yet, how far to the moon? What I'm saying is it doesn't, at some point, it doesn't equate to me, doctor. I may not be very intelligent. I know some are just like, you know what? Your IQ's low and you're a redneck. Okay, fine. But I just don't see how this all makes sense to me. Something
is not right. I have a great deal of skepticism with anything I'm told by the government. And that we've got a lot more simple terrestrial issues that seem to be eluding the truth.
By the way, you're right. It is a 250,000 miles to the moon. So we can't go to 250,000 miles to the moon with a person, but yet we can go 140 million miles to Mars. No problem. We're doing it right now, gentlemen. I'm not buying it.
Just put in your mind the image that I tried to, while you're on the radio, you can't see me waving my arms and all this kind of stuff as I try and explain this. But think of all those spinning, the axes that everything's spinning on, and the multiple issues that are complicated by those spinning axes. And you consider how far and the accuracy, it's a pinpoint in all eternity, basically, that you're trying to get to with all of this bizarre kind of physics and math and everything like that. You know, I think people don't really realize, well, a lot of people maybe have never thought about it, but the vastness of God's creations are just so magnificently awesome. I often think about, the polar star, the one that's, by the way, I teach kids how to tell time using the polar star and the Big Dipper, and I tell them you can never be late for a date anymore, getting home from a date, because now you know how to tell from the stars, even if your watch stops. But that polar star is so far away that the light that you see tonight when you go out and look at it, if you're not overcast, that light left that star 30 years before the pilgrims started planning their journey to North America. And it's just astounding to me that light's traveling at 186,000 miles a second. For so the 430 years it's been traveling, it's been steady at that course, and it still gets here. And, God's got a program out there, and it is just amazing to think of the expansiveness. And I guess when I think about those things, it makes me kind of, again, make sure I recalibrate the fact that if he holds all this together with the precision that he does and the plan that he has, there are solutions to the things that we have if we'll decide to abide by his program rather than our own stupidity. And I could have said wisdom, but that absolutely does not apply in the same sentence with God's wisdom. And our humanist perspective today is a chaos theory. It's not of a divine plan. And I think that's one of the reasons we're kind of muddling around like we are on the earth today, you know?
Amen to that reality check. Anyway, I just look at these statements that they make, and I know people are going to say, Sam, you know, we love you, buddy, but you've just lost your credibility with this one about the moon, or, you know, saying we didn't go to the moon. I don't know factually if we went to the moon or not. I just don't have any way to really independently, as you mentioned, verify, doctor. But I will say this about it. I'm not convinced we went. And it seems like everything they've told me is a lie. And the more they double down and insist we went, but the more I see evidence like, well, we lost the blueprints to go again, by golly. Well, we lost the video footage we had to recreate, so we have now not literal footage of going to the moon. We have recreated footage going to the moon, and they lost the original tapes and, you know, this and that. And then a buddy of mine, literally a journalist, goes and asks them to swear on the Bible if they landed on the moon, and they won't do it, and they beat him up and punch him in the face and all this kind of stuff. The more they double down and say they went to the moon but can't really produce evidence, the more I question it. Now they're not talking about the moon. They're talking about Mars instead of thousands of miles away, millions of miles away. It doesn't equate, folks.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. So it's about 140 million miles to Mars from Earth. The moon is about 250,000 miles from Earth. You know, we're really struggling to go back to the moon, by golly. We lost the blueprints. We don't have the technology there now. And we're working on it, though. Don't worry. Private sector will get there. NASA's going to help and fund it with your taxpayer dollars. We might get it done by 2024. Well, we can't by 2024 because the cocoa hit. So sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're working on it. But don't worry. We just landed on Mars, and pictures are coming back soon. I don't mean to be offensive. I just something just is it almost a demonstration to see how outlandish they can make the stories and we'll accept them, doctor? Is that kind of where we're at?
You know, I don't know as they have to prove anything. I mean, I look at almost everything that has happened, and we are so blasted gullible, so naive, or just plain willfully ignorant. I don't know what the real answer is, but, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know if your kids or grandkids or whatever ever watched that movie Ghostbusters, and at the end, they ask the little accountant guy if they can take a sample of his brain tissue, and he say, oh, yeah, sure, fine, that'll be good. It's like, you know, that's kind of an invasive and intrusive kind of activity, taking your brain tissue samples, and we're just fine with that. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, last night I was reviewing, and it's, yeah, why did I do it? I don't know. But I was reviewing in the book of Daniel, the third chapter, and, you know, the king makes this big gold statue, and everybody, when they hear the music start, is supposed to fall down and worship it. You know, fall down and worship it. Now, I don't know if that meant they just kind of flopped on their faces or if they kneeled down and bowed to it. I don't know what it was, but the term used is fall down, okay? And I just am struck with the fact that we fall, or we're supposed to anyway, and I don't, but, and I'm pretty confident you don't, but most Americans fall down and worship the idols that we've made our false gods today. You know, the physicians, the researchers, the scientists, the big pharma, the politicians, the manufacturers, we fall down and worship them on a completely, really unproven technology that has never been used on humans before, has never been found successful, developed at warp speed, and that they've had similar desire to do something else with other viruses, like the common cold and the AIDS and HIV thing. But in a few months, it was developed and put into production and delivered. And we're saying, yeah, there's some side effects, you know, that might include death. And they do have actual, you know, growing number of cases of that. But other things that it's almost like, well, I'd rather be dead than have these things. But we're supposed to fall down and worship it and say, thank you, thank you. An answer to prayers, and I think that the real prayer hearing God is a lot more powerful than those scientists and physicians and researchers and big pharma companies that are going to make bazillions of dollars off of this. And oh, by the way, they're telling you now, well, you may have to get the vaccine at least 3 injections to get it going, and then we don't know if it's every 3 months or every, you know, 90 days, year, I mean, whatever. Oh, man, and it's going to mutate, and oh, my heck, I just don't know how we're going to, and it's just a never-ending story that we're going to stay on our knees the whole time for. Oh, and I saw it a couple of days ago. I saw an interview on CNN with Dr. Anthony Fauci, and he said, well, when you're fully vaccinated, you're still going to have to wear the mask, and you should social distance, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason for that is that there's a high chance that you'll still be able to be infected, but probably you won't feel any symptoms, but you could infect other people, so you should wear the mask. And it's like, wait, how is this different from what they're telling us it already is? 80% of the people that get it, they're asymptomatic, and unlikely to infect others, but at least they're asymptomatic. And this vaccine's going to make you asymptomatic, but you're still going to get it. And the idea that you might still project it to someone else through a mask that that is like I've heard it likened to filtering a mosquito through a chain link fence. You know, none of this makes any sense. We are, again, I'm coming back to your comment. Are they just having to see how gullible we really are? I think we're so gullible, it does not even, we're not on the scale anymore. We have gone.
I totally agree. And just so you know, NASA says it takes 9 months to get to Mars.
Okay.
So if you jumped in buddy, as long as it takes for a woman to have a baby, it takes you to get to Mars, buddy.
Well, and then, you know, again, if I was in the tin can flying out there, I'd want to know what it would take to get me back. I mean, you know, well, I'm sure there are people that say, well, I would just to take the trip, I'd, you know, be willing to risk my life, whatever it would be, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is the things we cherish are the things that we've been granted here. And I'm not so sure that we're going to find that to be a welcoming environment. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. if we can really send a craft to Mars, wouldn't you think going to the moon by now, 50 years later, it'd be like a routine thing? Like, hey, man, I'm going to Disney World for my vacation. Somebody else is like, I'm going to check out the moon. It's kind of an intense event, it'd be like skydiving, right? I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, waive my insurance and I'm going to go. You would think it would be like that right now, but we can't even go there, sir.
Well, that seems to be the case. I mean, they say, well, we've been there and done that, so we don't need to do it anymore. But, you know, clear back in the 60s, literally, there was discussions of moon bases from there. I mean, launches from there that would, you know, not have some of the challenges, perhaps, you know, with the terrestrial gravity we have on the Earth and so on. It would be, you know, there was technology they said was being developed to put permanent colonies on the moon. The moon is an interesting observation point. We got the same face of the moon, you know, is looking towards the Earth constantly. And if you were going to use it as a, you know, space station observation point for the Earth, I mean, whether it was for military purposes or whether it was for weather watching or whatever, it would be an unbelievable technological advantage to be viewing it from there and have that kind of capability, but it just didn't happen. It just kind of...
All right, now let me explain this to you. They say it would take 9 months for a person to get to Mars with current, quote, technology, okay? We cannot go to the moon. You understand that, right? They want to, they will soon, but they can't go to the moon. You know that. All right, now listen to this, though. So then they tell you how nail-biting it was to land this sucker on Mars. And then they say this, which I find fascinating. Help me comprehend this. I'm not very smart, doctor. Then it said it took a tension-filled 11 and a half minutes for the signal to reach Earth, per the Associated Press, quote, touchdown confirmed. Now, the signal takes 11 and a half minutes to get from Mars to here, but you can't go.
It would take 6,000 miles a second. That's at that speed. Okay, so do the math. Yep, it's a long ways.
But I'm looking at that, yeah, though, and I'm saying something doesn't make sense there either. Because how does the signal get from A to B?
Well, the physics behind the radio signal and everything they say is well understood with the speed of light, you know, 186,000 miles a second and everything else like that. And there are people that are absolutely, they'll take it to the mat. You're an idiot if you believe otherwise kind of thing. That they believe that.
No, but hold on a minute now.
The universe.
How far do we got to go through space and what makes it propel and continue? What makes it amplify or continue? And they want you to believe that, oh, well, it doesn't need to. It's just by space. It doesn't have all those, quote, atmospheric characteristics. And so it can just go, what, forever? Is that the deal?
Well, there's people that would say that because of the, you know, the voidness of space, there's a, you know, an indication that there would be less, you know, if you will, attenuating matter out
less
there.
Less drag on the signal.
Yeah. But no,
right, because attenuating in radio technology is kind of drag or slow down or lowering of level or volume. I'm trying to put it in the average Joe's vernacular, right? But what I'm saying is that so it never loses any mojo in 140 million miles, and then even when it hits the atmosphere, it doesn't peter out in any way. It just like rocks right on through, like coming in clear. Roger that, sir. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And then there's another little interesting thing that's even closer to home. The Van Allen belts are a highly radioactive set of belts.
Hey, man, can radio signals go through the Van Allen belt, my friend?
Well, that's another issue, that, you know, the distortion and the deflection and everything like that. But
hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live, Doctor.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pratt.
The massive electric power outage in Texas brought on by extreme winter weather has started a blame game, with elected officials pointing the finger at renewable energy resources and green energy policies. Renewables only supply about 20% of Texas electricity. Power has been restored to nearly 2 million homes across Texas. There continues to be approximately 325,000 Texas homes without power Friday morning. Senator Ted Cruz, a Republican from Texas, defended taking a family vacation to Cancun, Mexico, after critics accused him of abandoning his constituents at the height of a catastrophic winter.
Whether the decision to go was tone deaf, look, it was obviously a mistake, and in hindsight, I wouldn't have done it. I was trying to be a dad.
Mr. Cruz is a senator and not a first responder, and all issues regarding the state are being handled by the governor. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We are USA Radio News.
We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code USA.
Dr. Fauci says teachers should be a priority for the COVID-19 vaccine. USA Radio News' Tim Berg reports.
White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci says teachers should no doubt be prioritized for the COVID-19 vaccine.
But I think to say that you're not going to open up schools until every single one of the teachers get vaccinated, namely making it a sine qua non of opening, I don't think that we can go there. Otherwise, it would be very difficult to get the schools open.
Fauci continuing by saying the focus should be on reopening schools and creating a safe environment there amid the coronavirus pandemic. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Bob Dole, the former Kansas senator and 1996 Republican presidential nominee, announced on Thursday that he has stage 4 lung cancer. In a statement, Mr. Dole said his first treatment will begin on Monday. Dole recognized he certainly has some hurdles ahead, but added he joins millions of Americans who face significant health challenges of their own. USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So let me kind of understand this. I researched this a little bit on the break, Dr. Bradley, and I know it sounds like we're going through just a rabbit trail, a waste of time. People are going, man, your credibility was up there, Stan, until you started talking about the moon and Mars. Now, you know, you think you know more than the scientists. No, I don't think I know more than the scientists. I do think I have legitimate questions, though, that I don't have satisfactory answers to. All right, so headline says touchdown. I say not. NASA rover lands on Mars to look for signs of ancient life. Now, they say it takes 9 months to go to Mars, but yet the radio waves can get here in like 11 and a half minutes. Okay, fine, they travel at the speed of light. I get it. But here's my problem. If you dig in and read about what they say, we can't go to the moon. Golly, we lost the blueprints, but we can go to Mars 140 million miles away. But the moon, 250,000 miles away, we can't really go to. Now, listen to this, doctor, because this really fascinates me. They say all of the communication between Mars and Earth goes through satellites. And then they say because of the distance, there's a big delay. And then they go on and they say, you know, a phone call wouldn't be practical because it takes, you know, 11 and a half minutes for whatever. It'd be like a really long 30-minute round trip or whatever you want to say. Communication. But if the communications all go through satellites, how high up are the satellites? Do you have any idea, doctor?
Well, if they're geostationary, they have a certain distance from the Earth they have to be so that they kind of synchronize with the Earth's circular movement. And if, let's say it's let's say it's 400 miles, I don't know, but the satellite does also inject something of a propagation delay for both, you know, I'm sure the propagation delay between Mars and the satellite because of the distance and the time involved, and then satellite to Earth kind of propagation delay. There's discussion with Tesla and some of the, Elon Musk, he does the Tesla car.
Yes.
About low Earth orbit satellites that will basically irradiate the whole Earth constantly, and they do handoff between satellites so that you can keep a modicum of seamless communication. But it depends on the elevation or the altitude of the satellite above the Earth for how long that propagation delay would be. So I don't know exactly which ones they're bouncing it off of, to tell you the truth.
But what's the highest satellite in the sky? I mean, you're talking about low Earth orbit, high Earth orbit, and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing there's a 400-mile, something of that order. I have no idea, though, to tell you the truth. But it's something that I guess I haven't done much research in. I'm certainly not your subject matter expert on the thing. That's for darn sure.
And I just don't understand, though. We're gonna use a satellite for the communications between Earth and Mars? And I'm kind of going,
well, it's a relay
wait
point.
A minute now.
I'm thinking it's a relay point.
It is a relay point. But I don't get the value of that relay point. Like, it's got to be way lower. Why not use the moon for a relay point?
Well, that's what they were talking about doing when I was young back in the 60s.
I know, but they can't get it done, buddy. They lost the throughput. They can't even. So not only can we not put a human on the moon, but we can't even put like a relay point broadcast transmitter on the moon, can we? Or else we would have done it.
You would think.
Why would we use a satellite? Is a satellite lower than the moon?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no question.
Okay. See, how dumb am I? We're going to use this low satellite thing when we could literally have the moon as the launch point? No, even if we don't put a human back on the moon, can't we put our relay point back on the moon? Whatever that satellite is, satellite's just floating around, right? But you could put something on the moon that could be a fixed relay point that would be much more stable, much further into the realm of space, right? I mean, am I just stupid as all get out? Am I just dumber than dirt?
Well, it is pretty high-level physics and math. I just did a lookup while you were talking. The majority, this is what it states, the majority of satellites orbiting the Earth do so at altitudes between 160 and 2,000 kilometers. So, you know, you do the difference in kilometers and everything and miles. But the fact of the matter is, this orbital regime is called low Earth orbit. The satellite's relative closeness to the Earth. Satellites in low Earth orbit typically take between 90 minutes and 2 hours to complete one full orbit around the Earth. So, I mean, that's the problem, too, is that the satellites, as they're going around the Earth, they go out of view of
So let me understand this. We're not going to use the moon, even though we can get there, like, routinely, right?
Well, you'd think,
without a person, we can get there routinely. Okay, we're not going to use that point that we've charted for decades and has a standard orbital reality and a fixed understanding. We're going to have our own little craft floating around in space that's tiny, and it's going to be a better shot for communications for a relay point than the moon. I'm just telling you right now, you're not making any sense to me with this whole idea. It's insanity.
Well, like I say, discount or distrust until verified. The whole thing is really questionable, and it's more questionable in my mind because of our historical. I mean, you know, you can say scientifically this thing just doesn't make any sense, but the questionable part even begins for me a lot sooner than that. I mean, whether you're talking about a Gulf of Tonkin incident or a 9/11 attack on the Pentagon, or you're talking about something like a COVID virus, or you're talking about, you know, the Kennedy assassination, or you're talking about the Oak City thing, or you're talking, I mean, almost any subject you pick that had some if it wasn't cataclysmic, it was at least kind of a marking point in our history, for as a hinge point for things that have happened. And the deeper the investigation I do on all of these things, the more I find that the substance that we're presented with is really questionable, and there's a lot more to the stories than we possibly are being fed by the lame brain media and our government officials. And one of the things that really amazes me is that, honestly, those that sit in office that you would think would have some kind of flavor or feeling for curiosity, at the very least, at discovering the truth, seem to be totally either bought off, or maybe they're just completely disinterested in what life's all about. I don't know. But nobody seems to be willing to pursue things to the full truth. As Washington said, one straight course, seek truth, pursue it steadily. And I don't know. Inquiring minds, right, Sam?
Yes. And I know people are going to mock me and say, Sam, you know what? Why spend so much time on this with a good doctor? Why do you just beat on this when it's such a debatable, controversial topic? And I mean, the science has been settled, Sam, and you're so up in the night to even question this. I mean, you don't have a degree. You're not a mathematical expert. You're not a scientist. You're not an astronaut. You don't work for NASA. You really don't even know what you're talking about. And man, this just puts out your ignorance on the radio worldwide, Sam. I don't know why you'd, but I got to stop you for a second and say this. At some point, they've told us so many lies, and then they claim we're into conspiracy. And when we talked about UFOs for years, they said, you're up in the night crazy. You're whacked out nuts on parade. And now we realize, with FOIA documents and freedom of information and declassification and everything else, they've now come out and said, yes, you know what? UFOs are real. The government's tracked them and monitored them and been concerned about them and has actually received some crashed devices, or whatever you want to call them, ships or whatever word to use. I don't even know what to use, UFOs. And they've actually analyzed some of them, and they've got a lot of data on it, and it's now being declassified, and now it turns out that we were correct. All right, and they lied to us and told us we were nuts on parade. The military was involved all the way through. And so now when you get this, you go, wait a minute, and if we expose this lie, the question becomes, if this is a lie, and it's a big if, I get it, but what else have they lied to us about? And at some point, if we keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, we will expose these lies too. And once we expose enough lies, or big enough lies, if you will, then they will have their credibility on the altar for everything. In other words, I'm predicting, and I don't know when, I'm not going to put a time on it, but I'm predicting we expose one of their big lies so much to where most people will never be able to trust government again. And that's a sad tale to tell, but I'm predicting it. I don't know if it'll be the coronavirus that exposes it, that big lie. I don't know if it'll be going to the moon or going to Mars, or if it'll be assassinations, if it'll be 9/11, if it'll be, I mean, I don't know what big event. I don't know if they'll come back and tell you the earth is flat. I mean, I'm joking a little bit, but at the same time, is there truth to that theory? Okay, and you could say, man, you built a bridge too far this time, Sam. And I say, have I or have they? Dr. Scott Bradley responds in seconds.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so they say my credibility's on the line, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Whose credibility's on the line? As we ask more questions and get more data and more information, it starts to become serious. I'm questioning this satellite idea. Why would we use a satellite relay point, some teeny little thing in space that you would have a hard time getting to or retrieving or doing anything with at a lower altitude than something that you could put on the moon? Or something that you could mount on the space station, even, for that matter. I don't understand why you would have a teeny, 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 teeny floating device that moves while we move when you could have it on the moon or have it on the space station. It doesn't make any sense to me. And you could say, well, Sam, we can scientifically explain anything away that you bring up. You know what? At some point, though, your narrative is going to go south. At some point, just like we caught you on UFO lies and you said we're crazy and conspiracy theorists, now, once we expose yours, you're going to just say we're inciting mistrust? What will be the next thing? Where do we go here, doctor? Now they're saying that we're all inciting violence and that we're domestic terrorists and a domestic threat, and incitement is the new terrorism.
You know, it's interesting that they are redefining all the terminology, you know, from anything you call a terrorist to inciting to, I mean, the words of the Constitution. And you know, back in his day, Mark Twain, he put an aphorism out that it was lies, damned lies, and statistics. And it's kind of how it seems that things are obfuscated to us mere peons in our society. And it's interesting to me that back during the, you know, the Nazi era in the 30s and 40s in Germany, there was a kind of a chief Nazi propaganda guy that was over, you know, that made sure that the propaganda was fed out according to the party line, if you will. His name was Josef Goebbels. And he said, if you tell a lie, this is a rough translation from German, if you tell a lie big enough, and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. And that's kind of where we have gone in this country. You know, you tell this living Constitution lie. The Constitution is what the Supreme Court says it is. I mean, these are lies that have been repeated and repeated and repeated, and they're taught in the public education system to the point that there is no foundation left. And if you look at the secular humanists' manifestos, you find that a basic tenet of that is that ethics is situational and autonomous, meaning they can make something ethical based upon the situation and its standalone status. And so this is kind of the world we're in right now, and the bizarre things that have been going on are based upon a shifting sand of what agenda they're trying to put out. And, you know, the space stuff, like I say, we've got terrestrial challenges right now that we are absolutely locked down on. I mean, whether it's a coronavirus lockdown, literally, or you think about the weapons of mass destruction that they supposedly had, that we got lied about in Iraq, that we're never there, not there, done, and we committed to this trillion-plus trillions of dollars worth of effort, or the Gulf of Tonkin, which I brought up earlier from August of 1964, that the attack that didn't happen, that caused us to kill 58,000 of our people and maim hundreds of thousands of our people and kill probably 2 to 3 million Vietnamese on, it didn't happen. It was a dark, quiet night until we opened fire because of some, there was an agenda being done on it, but it was foisted upon the American people.
Well, and you got to look at the USS Liberty in light of that as well.
Oh, the Liberty event in 1968. Sure, everything that has been, like I say, they've already crossed the Rubicon, if you will, in my mind, about the credibility of government-sponsored or government-mandated or government truisms that have been published. I mean, you look at the trade towers falling down. Well, you look at Building 7. I mean, it was like, 47 stories tall, a great big building. Tallest building in the state of Utah is 28 stories, so it's almost twice as tall as that. It falls down. It didn't get hit by an airplane. There's no facade about that. They had a couple little office fires in it that, I mean, and suddenly the plug gets pulled, as the words were used, and it falls down at the speed of gravity in its own footprint. And there's not even a discussion of that in the 9/11 Commission report. I mean, they either obfuscate or ignore, and then, in my opinion, they spin. They put their agenda-driven spin on things, and we're all over the board. I know that, but
you know what, Doctor? We are going to eventually call a halt to this con game. We are going to get to the truth. Like we have on everything else, the truth has a way of coming out and writing itself, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't believe me, just look at the UFO thing. They lied and lied. I mean, they told you how kooky we were and how crazy and conspiracy theory. I mean, unhinged. And they went on and on. And now NASA and the government and the CIA and whatever, due to declassification of documents, admit to it all. Right?
Well, and you'd think and you'd hope that there would be enough inquiring minds, if you will, in the American public. But honestly, we have a mutual friend that says that, you know, if the toilet flushes and the channel changer works and there's beer in the fridge, most Americans don't look far beyond that. And one thing that I have found, and you know, as you well know, our Utah legislature is in session right now, and there's many other legislatures that are too, and this could be a universal malady that we all face, in that we have unthinking people passing bills. See, in Utah, and I'll just use that as an example, we probably have between 1,100 and 1,200 new bills being submitted for passage in a 45-day session, okay? People can't read them. There's one bill that I have put out a statement on, and it's 57 pages long, 1,763 lines, and it's an egregious violation of both the Utah Constitution and the United States Constitution, and yet the people are throwing them out, and nobody, including our legislators, take the time to fully evaluate. They don't connect the dots. People don't look beyond the end of their nose most of the time, and that's one of the big problems, I think, in America, is that we don't connect the dots. We don't look for the long-term effects that are going to happen, and we're just so fixated on the moment, I guess. I don't know what it is.
I have one last question for you for this hour. Here it is.
Say again?
How many here's my question to end the hour. How many conspiracy theories that they claim are theories will end up conspiracy fact when it's all said and done?
I personally have stopped calling them conspiracy theories or conspiracy theorists and started calling them truth seekers. I mean, that's, you know, the fact of the matter is that almost everything that we find someone poo-pooed because it was a conspiracy theory, and that's an ad hominem attack. That's a discounting approach to things. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. We can put you in this shelf and set you there in a box, and you're oh no, we don't need to listen to you anymore. But the fact of the matter is that if you seek out these things to the nth degree, if you read the Warren Commission report, or if you read the 9/11 report, or if you examine what happened in in Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, or even the so-called egregious violations of humanity when Assad in Syria did these the bombings of his own people. Absolutely insane in every case. But Donald Trump sent millions upon millions of dollars worth of missiles at each given time those happened against Assad in a civil war that was happening among his own people that we created ISIS in as the opposing force to Assad at the behest of those that wanted to overthrow Assad. We got involved in stuff, and we continue to give credibility to the people that sit in high office when they lie through their teeth to us on virtually everything. And again, you know, there's stuff that court or the maybe the judgment is still out on in regards to was this a lie or was that a lie. I don't have all knowledge and able to embrace all of those things. But those that I have pulled on all the strings on, I have come to discover that there's an overwhelming case to be made that if their lips are moving, they're lying. And so, they've got a big credibility gap. But most Americans aren't willing to do the investigation. I can't tell you how many calls I've received in recent times in regards to getting rid of Mitt Romney, the senator from Utah, because of the shenanigans that he's pulling in the minds of the people that are mad at him. And it's like, well, what did you guys think you were getting when you voted for him? Well, he deceived me. No, he didn't. You knew what he was when you picked him up. It's kind of like the old rattlesnake story and the kid on the mountain, you know. The rattlesnake bites the kid after he gets off the mountain after he's warmed up. It's a story we'll tell if you're interested. But the point of the matter is, if you're willing to do your investigation, you knew what you were getting. But people don't. They won't. It's like way too much effort. And it really doesn't take that much effort to say, I'm going to do a reasoned analysis of this with original sources. And pretty soon you have a pretty good picture of where this whole mess is going. That you know, again, we the people have a responsibility to inform ourselves and follow the path and see it to the end. Pursue it steadily. Seek truth and pursue it steadily. That's what George Washington told us. And that's my admonition to everybody on every topic, whether it's about God, whether it's about morality, or whether it's in an educational setting, anything, it's certainly a political setting. And we've got to become astute students, if you will, with devoted efforts and quit worrying so much about, you know, our friend Chuck Baldwin talked about the effort of Biden to come against our guns. And he said, you've got to quit worrying about, you know, your golf score or whatever you're spending all your time on right now. Start paying attention to what we're losing in this land at this very moment. So, yeah, that's what it takes. And Americans, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Well, one of my mentors in radio, Jerry Hughes, used to like my show and listen to it and say, you know what, Sam, one of the things that I like about you as a host is you always bring up pertinent, poignant, practical, pressing questions. And you know what? That's what I want to do here today. Whether you agree we went to Mars or not, whether you agree we went to the moon or not, really isn't the point. Whether you agree with conspiracy theories or conspiracy fact, or whether you call us truth seekers or you know, nuts on parade, whatever you say, say what you choose, my fellow Americans. But learn to open up your mind and think. And learn to understand that you may believe something is the way it is, only to find out you've been schnookered. And the UFO point is poignant enough to prove it. Okay? They told you we were crazy, and now NASA, the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, I could go on and on and on, space programs, whatever you want to say, the Pentagon, they all admit UFOs have reality to them. Where they come from is another debate, but they all admit that it was not just a conspiracy theory, that it's true. Take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it. And learn to open up your mind and become a truth seeker, would you please? For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman and our crew in the studios, thank you so much. We declare this nation shall endure, and together we shall restore the republic. Will you help us? God save the Republic of the United States of America.